Welcome to this podcast of sermons from University Christian Church, Disciples of Christ in Fort Worth, Texas. UCC is a community of faith where all are welcome, where we worship in a spirit of togetherness, where we embrace curiosity, community, and compassion. We don't claim to have all the answers, nor do we expect you to check your brain at the door, but rather we gather together to find the courage to engage the scriptures and to ask the big questions about who we are as people of faith, and who God is calling us to be. At UCC, we seek the sacred, commit to love, and empower to serve. And in so doing, we work together to transform the world through Christ's courageous love. My name is Reverend Dr. Russ Peterman, and I'm the senior minister here at UCC, and so most of these sermons are from me. So for the last 6 weeks, we have been making our way through the season of Lent. We've been asking ourselves hard questions. We've been examining our lives to look at our relationship with God. We've also been using this image of the Exodus to talk about the ways and the areas in which God is inviting us to move from here to there, from where we are to where God dreams and desires and wants for us to be. I hope it has been a good and rich journey for you. It has been for me. The text this morning that we're going to be looking at is from Matthew's Gospel, and it takes place outside of the narratives of the events that we will encounter this week during Holy Week. Matthew places this encounter earlier in the story. But if you were studying this narrative, approaching it like it was a movie or a novel, you'd look at this encounter as sort of foreshadowing what will take place in the next few days. Jesus is explaining to the disciples what life will look like for him. There will be suffering, he says. There will even be death. But also, there will be the promise that it will not be the end of the story. And he tells them, too, that if they choose to follow him, that their path will also be the same. That the disciples are not just witnesses to Jesus' suffering, but also participants in it. And so I suppose you could say that as disciples ourselves, that we don't just get to tell the story of Jesus' suffering, but we will actually live it ourselves. So I invite you to listen now to Matthew's Gospel.
I'm reading this morning from the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Verses 21 through 26. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. And on the third day he raised, and Peter took him up aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Lord, forbid it. Lord, this must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are settling your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life on my sake will find it. For what will be the profit to them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life?" The word of God for the people of God.
All right, on the count of three, everybody just cough. Let's just get it out, all right? One, two, three. Let's just hear it. Just get it out. Yeah, there we go. It's that time of the year, isn't it, where everything from the cat to the car is covered with this yellow haze. Thank God for that rain that we had yesterday, or else we'd all be up to our ears in pollen. So before I begin this morning, I am well aware that some of you during this sermon will be watching the Masters live on your phone. Some of us have work to do, but we still want to know how things are going. So if any time Tiger birdies, just yell out, amen. Does that sound fair? So that I'll know and I can celebrate with you. So do you remember that time in your life? Maybe it was a singular moment or an experience, or maybe it was just this sort of growing awareness that sort of happened over time, that you came to the realization that despite your best intentions, despite your best efforts, that you don't have a lot of control over what happens to you in life. That no matter how hard you try to keep things organized, that despite your best laid plans, that from time to time, life is just going to sort of rear itself up and bite you in the rear end. That's the way life is. And you've not come to that point yet. I hate to be the one to bear the bad news, but you will. It happens to all of us at some point. But do you remember when you came to that awareness? There's this great saying about adulthood. It says, adulthood is like looking both ways before you cross the street and then getting hit by an airplane. And we know what that's like, don't we? We all come to this realization that more often than not, that life happens to us rather than because of us. That we don't always have a whole lot of control over what happens to us in this life. And for some folks, that's really hard. For those of us who like control, who like to keep things neat and tidy, yet we still wrestle life to the ground. And in doing so, we burn a lot of energy. We exert a lot of frustration because we're trying to control everything that happens around us. Now, the staff will tell you that I have a saying that I use almost all the time. And the reason that I use it a lot is because it's always true. And the saying is, the issue is never the issue. No matter what happens in life, the issue is never the issue. There's always a thing behind the thing, a question behind the question. The issue is never the issue. And I would argue that a lot of our desire for control, that the real issue is that we desire more than anything else a sense of safety. That if we can somehow control everything, that we will avoid all the pain and the heartache, whether it's our own or the pain and the heartache of those people that we love. If we can control everything, we can stay safe. I think for a lot of people, they look at the Christian life as some sort of an insurance policy, right? That if we live the right way, if we believe the right things, then we'll stay safe. That we'll never have to endure pain or suffering, that we'll stay safe from the pain. But we aren't really given that promise, are we? Did you hear what Jesus said a minute ago? Those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. That doesn't sound very safe to me. Some of you have read C.S. Lewis's book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Great book. It tells the story of four children who visit this magical kingdom of Narnia. And the story, it's a great story. It's also an allegory for the Christian life and salvation, in a sense. Narnia is ruled by a lion by the name of Aslan, who is the Christ figure in the story. And in that situation, that story where the children find themselves in Narnia and they're having a cup of tea with Mr. and Mrs. Beaver, who described the mighty lion Aslan to them. And Susan, who was sitting there, she's quite surprised. She didn't anticipate that Aslan was a lion, assumed it would be a man. She began to get nervous, and so she tells Mr. Beaver, "I'm rather nervous about meeting a lion. Is he safe?" And Mr. Beaver says, "Safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he is good, and he is the king." Brené Brown came to that moment in her life when she realized that she didn't have a whole lot of control over everything, that life is messy and that sometimes it hurts. She says, At first, I went to church thinking that it would be like an epidural, that faith would take the pain away. But faith in church was more like a midwife, she said, that just sort of stood next to her and said, "Push. It's supposed to hurt a little." And I would argue that that's what faith does. And that's what the church can be if we allow ourselves as a community of faith to be vulnerable with one another, to move beyond the platitudes and the trite sayings and the cliches. Brené Brown says, "I used to think that faith would say, 'I'll take away your pain and I'll take away your discomfort.' But what faith ended up saying is, 'Move over. I'm going to sit with you for just a minute.'" And what she came to say is that that's what I would have asked for in the first place had I known what I really needed most. You see, the point that I'm trying to make is that you never know what your next steps in life are going to be, about what relationship will undergo turmoil, about what loved one will turn on you, about when the phone will ring and the doctor will tell you that it's bad news. We never know when the bottom is going to fall out. You see, on the journey, there are few things that are consistent. Otherwise, pretty much everything else is just sort of up for grabs. There is this lie that exists in the world, and I would argue that it lives within each and every one of us, and if left unchecked, it grows deep within our psyche. And that lie is that if you do this, this will happen. If you do this, God will do that. That if we were to look at our life as sort of a bar graph, that it would continue to go up and to the right. That things will continually climb and get better. That if you just take care of yourself, if you eat right and exercise, then you'll never have to sit in the doctor's office when the word cancer is uttered. We live with this lie that if you're just good parents, if you love your kids and do the right thing, you send them to the right school, that they'll never make bad choices. They'll never engage in destructive behavior. We live with this lie that if you just work hard and keep the books balanced, that if you treat your colleagues and your competition kindly, then the economy will never take a dip. That if you just marry the right person and read all the self-help books and maintain date night every week, then your marriage will be everything you ever dreamed it would be. It'll be so good that Dr. Phil himself will call and ask, "How do you do it?" But the truth is, that's a lie. It doesn't always go that way. Would you agree? That we are never safe from pain. We are never safe from the struggles. A few years ago, I was going through an incredibly difficult time in my life. I had just gone through a hard divorce, as if there were any other kind. And I was struggling with what we're talking about here this morning. And I was talking with my therapist about how sometimes the plans that you make don't work out the way that you drew them up. And we were talking about the confusion and the heartache and the loss and the despair. And finally, she turned to me and she said, "Where did you learn that life was supposed to be safe and predictable?" She said, "Russ, you say all the time that life is this journey. Do you really believe that?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And she said, "Yes, life is a journey. And the notion that if you just do this, then this will happen. If you just do this, then that will happen. That's simply not how it is. There are so many things that we can't control in our life. Our relationships, our suffering, illnesses. We can't control these things. But what we can control is the up-to-us privilege of how we will respond when these things, when life happens to us. Those moments when our dreams blow up, when relationships end, when things fall apart. In that moment, the only thing you can control is the type of person you are becoming in the process of this journey through all of the twists and turns of life. The only thing we can control is what's going on in our hearts. The only thing we can control is whether you are the type of person who is moving from fear to faith, from indifference to compassion. About whether you are having a hard heart or whether you are having a heart that beats for the things for which God's heart beats for. You see, there's all sorts of things that you can't control. And at some point, we just need to surrender to those things and to recognize that things will happen whether we plan them or not. You see, the only thing that we can control is how we respond to the suffering, to the twists, to the turns, to the ups and downs, to the dead ends on the journey of this life. The only thing that we can control is how we respond in those moments. For the last 6 weeks, we've been talking about the story of the Exodus and using that image of leaving old ways for new ways of living. And one of my favorite parts of the story oftentimes just sort of gets passed by, overlooked. It's when they're coming out of Egypt after Pharaoh had released them. And the text says that God did not lead them through the land of the Philistines, which was the shortest route. The text implies that God was afraid that they would encounter hardship, they'd be attacked, that there would be wars, and they'd be afraid, they'd get scared and change their minds and just flee back to Egypt. The text says, instead of the shortest route, God led them by a roundabout way of the wilderness. There was a shorter route. But that was not the way that God wanted them to go, and so they went the longer route. Now, how many of you hear that and think, that's my life? That's my life. There was a way that would have been so much easier. Things could have gone so much better, but it hasn't gone that way. It went a different way. So many places where a straight shot would have saved so much time and so much heartache, and there's always an and yet. Life did this other thing. And it twisted, and it turned, and it curved, and it's not at all what I planned. Now, church, I don't know what that looks like in your life, but I sure know what it looks like in mine. And I can look back and think about the relationships that ended before I was ready. The dreams that just sort of faded away. There were people in my life that were supposed to do this, and yet they didn't. Things that were supposed to happen, but they didn't. There was a shorter route. And I've ended up taking a longer route. And yet, I wouldn't be who I am. You wouldn't be who you are if you'd taken that shorter route. The twists and turns, the ups and downs, those are the things that shape us. Those are the things that make us who we are. And so the question is, am I responding in the way that God would have us respond? Am I becoming the person that God intends me to be? Because there are things that we can only learn from the curves and the twists and the turns and the bends. Those things that we learn in the wilderness that we would have missed out had life taken the shorter route. You know, there are things that if everything went perfect, if life was always fine, we'd never learn those lessons. We'd be so shallow, we'd be so trite, we'd not be tuned in to the bigger issues of life. You see, God doesn't guarantee anything except that whatever life throws at us, God will be there with us to see us through it. God says, nope, I'm not going to clean that up for you. I'm not going to protect you from the pain. I'm not going to spare you from that. Instead, slide over. I'm going to be with you every step of the way. And as we get to the end of this Lenten season, I would simply ask you, is there some attitude? Is there some sort of approach, some action of control, of anxiety, of worry that you just need to let go of, surrender to? Is there any relationship that is not going according to your finally orchestrated plan? Is there some sort of circumstance where you've done everything to try and control, and yet it's still not submitting, and it's time for you to surrender? You see, the guarantee is that God will journey with us. Not that it will be perfect, not that it will be smooth, not that it'll even be the shortest route. All we have is the assurance that God will journey with us. You see, I would argue that life, the life of faith, is about what we're willing to surrender to. In military terms, surrender means defeat. But as a follower of Jesus, it means victory over what is holding us back from what God intends and created us to be. And yes, yes, sometimes it feels like the rug has been pulled out from underneath our feet. But it is in those moments that you are actually more alive than ever before. Because in that moment, in the wilderness, in the twists and the turns, in that moment, you are on the path towards wholeness that God intends for your life. And so, church, as we enter into this holiest of weeks, as we journey from the streets of Jerusalem to the upper room, to the cross, and to the empty tomb, may we ask ourselves, what are we willing to surrender to? You see, following Jesus, which is what the Christian faith is ultimately about, following Jesus invites us to join him on this journey, on this path, a path that leads us not away from our pain and our fear and our doubts, but further into them. And no, it's not safe. But Jesus came in his full humanity to lead us into our full humanity. And it is through his death and through his resurrection that he invites us to die to those things that hold us back from being the people that God intended for us to be, and to live into the life, the one life that has been entrusted to us. May we live that life on this day and every day. So thanks for listening. I do hope and pray that you found this sermon to be engaging and thoughtful and inspiring and maybe even a little challenging. I also hope that if you get the chance to join us on Sunday mornings in our sanctuary, you will. I think you'll find the welcome warm and inviting, the music inspiring, and there will always be a place at the table for you, regardless of who you are, or where you come from, or where you are on your spiritual journey. Just know that you're welcome here. And if you'd like to support the production of this podcast and the ongoing mission and ministry of UCC, or to simply find out more about this community of faith, we invite you to go to universitychristian.org. Grace and peace to you.